It is known that the purpose of creation is his desire to do good to his creations. However, in order to bring to light the perfection of his deeds, there was a restriction and concealment both on the Torah and mitzvot, or in the Torah and mitzvot, commandments, that delight and pleasure are clothed, and on the fact that he placed a tzimtzum, a restriction, and concealment on the Creator himself, as it is written, "Indeed, you are a God who hides." This means that the Creator is concealed from us, and we were given the commandment of faith to believe in the Creator, that he leads the world with the guidance of good and doing good. Although when a person begins to look at creation, it is full of flaws, meaning that the good who does good is not revealed in the world. One must believe above reason that his guidance is in a manner of good and doing good. Although he does not see this, he should say, "They have eyes and see not." Therefore, when a person begins to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, he immediately gets foreign thoughts that remove a person from the work of the Creator. And the more a person overcomes the thoughts, these thoughts of separation poke his mind and heart. And he thinks, "Although now I cannot overcome the foreign thoughts, I am waiting for an opportunity when I have more importance for Torah and mitzvot, and then I will have the strength to overcome." And in the meantime, he leaves the campaign. Concerning faith, Bala Sulam said that to man it is of little importance. Since man wants to understand and to know everything, therefore, when a person takes upon himself faith, which is against reason, meaning that the reason does not attain this, the body does not want to take upon itself such work, especially since this is not just any work, but on the basis of above the intellect, he must work with all his heart and with all his soul. As our sages said, even if he takes your soul. Therefore, because of the concealment that occurred, there are ascents and descents here. That is, the matter of faith does not always illuminate to a person. But most important, a person must believe in reward and punishment. And concerning reward and punishment, we said many times that faith in reward and punishment apply in every discernment that a person is in. But the difference among people is in the kelim, the vessels. There are people for whom reward and punishment are dressed in vessels of reception. That is, what the vessels of reception of a person can receive is considered a reward. And they do not speak at all about the reward that cannot clothe in vessels of reception, since reward does not dress in the will to receive for oneself, since a reward that does not dress in the will to receive for oneself does not interest them. Then, There are people for whom reward and punishment are called reward and punishment specifically when they dress in vessels of bestowal. That is, if they can be rewarded with bestowing contentment upon the Creator through their work, they regard this as a reward. For this purpose, they say that it is worthwhile to work and to come to this, that he will have good taste and pleasure in being able to perform acts of bestowal upon the Creator. If they see that they do not have this feeling, they consider this a punishment. Meaning that the Creator is punishing, is pushing them away and does not want to accept them as servants of the King. Since the Creator looks at them as indecent people,
hence,
he cannot permit them to enter the King's palace. And they are outside the King's palace. They understand why they deserve this, the punishment, since they are still immersed in self-love. Therefore, all their work is for the Creator to help them be able to emerge from self-love. In this work, the reward and punishment that he wants to be rewarded with vessels of bestowal, there must be a concealment of the face on providence, or it will be utterly impossible that one will be able to do anything for the sake of the Creator. Hence, when a person wants to take upon himself the kingdom of heaven in a state of the time of concealment, Malchut is regarded as the moon which receives its light from the sun. However, in Malchut herself, no light is revealed on her own self. As it is written in the Zohar, Malchut has nothing of her own except that which her husband gives her. That is, for the part of the lower one, one who takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven does not taste any flavor of importance from himself. From himself means that he does not want any flavor. But if the upper one gives, the lower one receives. This is considered that she has nothing of herself except that which her husband gives her. This she has, but for herself, she does not want anything. Rather, a person agrees unconditionally to be a servant of the Creator, meaning whether he feels the flavor of importance or does not feel any flavor in the work. He says, if I want to bring contentment to the Creator, why should I mind whether I take pleasure in my work? I must only believe that the Creator enjoys my work. And although I see that the work I am doing is not with all my heart, and I do not have the feeling that I am observing the King's commandment, since for now everything is hidden from me, and in my view, says the person, there is no value in what I do. And how can I say that the Creator enjoys such an act? And if at least such faith would illuminate for me that the Creator enjoys this, then I too would feel some pleasure. The answer is, as Bala Sulam said, that one must believe that when he does something and wants the Creator to enjoy what he is doing, he already feels pleasure above. The form of the act does not matter. It is enough that the person wants. Even when a person sees that this act is in utter lowliness, the lowest that can be, this is considered that he is walking on the path, on the straight path. Meaning that the person does not say that this work is perfect. He does not lie to himself. Instead, he says that the work he is doing could not be more flawed. And this is true. But he believes in the sages who tell us to believe in what is written, the Lord is high and the low will see. For this reason, he believes that the Creator does enjoy his work. Speak of them at all. Rather, the beginning of the speaking in the work is from the time when a person begins to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven. And based on this faith, he observes Torah and mitzvot. With respect to him, we begin to speak of the matter of the birth of the moon. To what extent should it be seen and become worthy of sanctification? In other words, at what level of faith can we say that he already has Kedusha, holiness, and can say that the Creator enjoys what he is doing because his actions are of Kedusha, holiness, holy actions, even though the things he does are compulsory, since the whole body resists what he wants? So how can it be said that the Creator enjoys such actions when his heart is not with him? For example, if a person gives a gift to his friend, and his friend knows that although he has given him the gift, it is not with all his heart, since he still does not love him, that person would not receive the gift from him. But in reality, we see that if someone invites his friend to a meal, and the guest knows that this invitation is not from the bottom of the heart, but is compulsory, if the guest knew this, he would decline the offer. So, how can a person say about a state of concealment when he's doing his work in a compulsory manner that the Creator accepts his work and enjoys it? However, we must believe in the sages who tell us that all our work, however we work, if the person attributes the work to the Creator, even if it is in utter lowliness, the Creator enjoys it. The person should be happy that he can do things while in a state of lowliness. The person should tell himself that he enjoys this work, which is entirely above reason. Reasonably thinking, this work is not considered work, meaning an important act that the Creator enjoys. Yet, he believes in the sages who told us that the Creator does enjoy, but this is above reason. By this, we should interpret why Moses was perplexed about the birth of the moon. How can it be that about such work during the birth, which is a state of concealment, can we say that it is Kedusha, holiness, and that the Creator enjoys such actions? It is written, Moses was perplexed about the birth of the moon. The Creator showed him with a finger the moon in the firmament and said to him, such as this, see. Of Chokhmah. Accordingly, we can interpret here, the Creator showed Moses with a finger and said, such as this, see and sanctify, as it is written, showed him the moon in the firmament, meaning that the birth of the moon is seen in the firmament. The firmament is the separating masach, screen. As our sages said, and God made the firmament, and it divided between water and water. And the lower water cries, we want to be before the king. We want to be like the king. The moon that is in the firmament at the time of the birth is in concealment of the face. The Creator said, this measure that you see during the birth, such as this, see and sanctify. Although this is utter lowliness, she is completely above reason, since all his actions are still compulsory, still, if you attribute this work to my name, I enjoy it as though he were pointing with a finger. As is said in the words of our sages, the Creator is destined to pardon the righteous, and each one will point with his finger. That is, I enjoy this, as though they have already been rewarded with Chokhmah. For this reason, if a person overcomes in this and believes with faith in the sages, he can ascend. Since he says to the Creator, I want to subjugate myself unconditionally. So you do not need to give me a good taste in the work. That is, a person says to the Creator, if you see that I am enjoying, then I can work in order to bestow. So you will enjoy too. Otherwise, I cannot work in order to bestow. It follows that he dictates to the Creator how he, the Creator, should behave with him, meaning according to man's mind. We should say about this, that the Creator said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Rather, the person says, I do not mind how much I understand about appreciating the importance of observing Torah and mitzvot, that I will receive from this such great inspiration that the whole body will surrender to the Creator and do everything with love and joy. Rather, by this, I see that I can do the holy work only by coercion.
It follows
that I still do not have the knowledge to understand and appreciate whom I am serving, meaning to feel that I am serving a great king. Thus, how can I say that I am working in Kedusha? After all, I have foreign thoughts against the work of the Creator to such an extent that I must do everything coercively. And yet, he believes with faith in the sages. The answer to this is that the Creator said, such as this, see and sanctify. That is, although he still does not see the measure of importance of the moon, where moon implies the kingdom of heaven, and the moon, the Creator showed with a finger in the firmament that it is concealment toward the lower ones. As said in the interpretation to, and God made the firmament and divided between the water that is below the firmament. In other words, the lower one cannot look up since there is a firmament that hides and divides from the lower ones. This was the Creator's answer to Moses, who was perplexed to what extent it should be seen and be worthy of sanctification, meaning so he can say, this is Kedusha, holiness, and this Kedusha ascends before me, and I accept it as Kedusha. He showed him with a finger, that is, such as this, see and sanctify. In other words, as the moon in the firmament is in utter concealment, and the person sanctifies it and says, whatever grip I have in spirituality, I accept it with love. Even though my work is compulsory, this too is important, that I have some faith in the Creator, that I can nonetheless bend myself and do something by coercion in order to please the Creator. And this is the best that I have. The person should say that it is as important as in his eyes as if he is pointing with a finger. This is the meaning of Israel count by the moon and idol worshippers count by the sun. We asked, what does this come to teach us in the work? We should interpret that since man is a small world, which comprises the quality of Israel and the quality of the nations of the world, Israel count by the moon, and idol worshippers count by the sun. Something important is called something that is counted. Among the nations of the world in a person, it is when the work of the Creator shines for him like the sun. And the sun is called day. As our sages said, if the matter is as clear to you as light, meaning as light that shines, in other words, the matter of work shines throughout his body. At that time, he can work and engage in Torah and mitzvot. But if it does not shine for him throughout his body, he cannot do the holy work. This discernment is called the nations of the world, who serve only the sun, meaning specifically when it illuminates for them, and they cannot overcome and work coercively. But the Israel and a person count by the moon. That is, they sanctify their work during the birth of the moon. When the light she should receive from the sun is still not seen. Rather, such as this, see and sanctify. He does not wait until some illumination from above shines for him. And then he will begin to work. Rather, for whatever grip he has on spirituality, he thanks the Creator. This is called the quality of Israel. And specifically by this, is one rewarded with ascending on the rungs of holiness. As was said, in return for, and Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look, he was rewarded with, the image of the Lord does he behold. In other words, specifically by taking upon oneself to do the work of holiness unconditionally, a person is rewarded with achieving the purpose of creation, which is his desire to do good to his creations. Such as this, we see presented in the Zohar. Within that palace are all those who suffered torments and illness in this world, to be corrected in complete repentance, who thanked and praised their Master each day and never cancelled their prayer. That is, it is the nature of a man who is concerned before him to see himself as full of deficiencies. However, he cannot thank and praise the Creator because in his mind, he has nothing for which to thank and praise. On the other hand, if he overcomes and always thanks and praises the Creator each day for the great kindness toward him, he necessarily feels satisfaction in his state. And again, he cannot pray and complain to the Creator about his deficiencies. The Zohar says that the merit of those righteous is that they are complete on both sides. Therefore, they were rewarded with entering the palace of Hud in the Garden of Eden. It therefore follows that a person should walk on both lines, although they contradict one another. For specifically by this are we rewarded with entering the king's palace.
Again.
Yes.
Rav, az ma yachas lachoshech?
How should we relate to the darkness when it shines a little bit? What's the correct relation to it? And how do we distinguish between being in the state of the birth of the moon or absolute darkness?
Absolute darkness is that he is not given in the meantime any sign. And he then cannot differentiate, make a blessing, but he simply feels that he is in a state that he can discern between something and something.
In the birth of the moon, what is the sign that it's the birth of the moon?
The birth of the moon is that there is some illumination in any case. Yes.
And what should we do with this?
We need to sanctify it.
So why is it so difficult for Moses to sanctify it?
Because it's a small force,
and
he still cannot exit the darkness's control.
He writes many times in the article about faith in the sages. He says, we have to believe in faith in the sages, what they tell us, that all our work, in whatever way we work, if a person attributes the work to the Creator, even if it is an utter lowliness, the Creator enjoys it. So, maybe we first need to understand what is faith in the sages. It sounds like something below reason, but it doesn't sound like it's below reason.
Sages, those who said according to their attainment, and we need to go according to what they said.
And what a work is in faith in sages and operates in faith in sages, is he operating above reason, within reason, or below reason?
A person who listens to what the sages say relies on them.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
He does what they say through faith in the sages.
But it sounds like it's below reason.
Yes.
So faith in the sages is below reason?
If he has faith in the sages and goes according to what they said, so he is below reason. However, if he accepts what they say above his own reason, meaning it depends on where he is. We still need to reach that. We still need to reach that. It depends on his state.
Maybe another question about this excerpt I read. How does the Creator enjoy an action where a person, without understanding, without feeling, simply does?
He receives as much as he can, that's what it's called, without feeling, without knowledge. He receives what he receives from above because it's what he has in the meantime.
Why does the Creator enjoy it? Because the created being behaves like, I don't know, like a robot. It does what he is told. So how does the Creator enjoy it? Why should he enjoy it?
No, a person has a choice. And he wants to be adhered to the Creator in that he receives or he accepts that the Creator is the upper one. It is a choice.
What bad?
Soon.
לאדם ישנה בחירה.
No, a person has a choice. And he
רוצה להיות דבוק בבורא.
Wants to be adhered to the Creator. In that.
בזה ש מקבל.
He receives, or he accepts that the Creator is the upper one.
זה בחירה.
It is a choice.
עוד מעט.
Soon.
כן, גלעד.
Yes, גלעד.
אבל הוא אומר פה שעניין מולד הלבנה.
It says here that the birth of the moon implies that when a person begins to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, the beginning means the beginning of the birth of a person. So what does it mean to accept the burden of the kingdom of heaven?
It's the beginning of the work. From here in, he starts becoming adhered to the Creator.
מה זאת הלידה הזאת? למה זה?
What is this birth? Why is it called birth?
לידת הנשמה.
The birth of the soul.
איך אדם יכול לקבל החלטה שמכאן ו...
How can a person decide on anything from here on?
הוא יכול להגיד שאני עכשיו...
He has this data that he can receive. He says that from this point on, I can start going in this attitude to the Creator according to the moon.
And it doesn't matter what the situation will be later, he took a decision now. And...
Now, yes.
So afterwards it can be a different situation, but he took a decision for the moment.
Whatever will be tomorrow will be tomorrow. Whatever is today is today.
And then he says, to what extent can he say that he has holiness already? That's the main question. How do you measure faith?
As much as in the darkness, he can behave as in the light.
What
does it mean to behave?
Meaning to be devoted. To be devoted to adhesion with the Creator. Like in the darkness. Like in the darkness, also in the light.
צורות הלבנה.
The forms of the moon.
שלמה.
From complete lack to wholeness is the extent of his devotion.
But the whole idea here is concealment, that it's concealed on purpose that the Creator enjoys.
Yes.
So what is a small moon or a big moon with respect to the concealment?
There's levels of concealment that a person that pass over a person.
But concealment is a good thing.
Concealment is a good thing.
It means that when the moon is small, it's the best.
Seems that's how it is.
So, again, let's say that the moon is growing. There is more of the moon. What does that mean with respect to faith?
That faith increases because the moon gets more light than the sun.
And this is because he has a greater ability to conceal from himself?
That he receives the concealment of the sun. He accepts that as the growth of the moon.
In other words, a person wants the Creator to enjoy.
Yes.
And the more of the moon he has, what does that mean?
That he has more faith.
More faith. It's not like he sees that the Creator enjoys.
No.
It's to the contrary.
He has more faith that the moon is bigger, and therefore he wants to make himself relate as small, or that it's done coercively.
He is in a state where is the ideal state for reception of faith.
And he sanctifies that because that's a state where he can progress through it as much as possible.
Yes, yes.
So that's the matter, sanctifying
what the Creator gives.
Thanks.
He didn't want to. Oh, and yes.
I heard earlier, as much as he can relate to the darkness as to the light and to be devoted to the Creator. What does it mean to be devoted to adhesion with the Creator?
Devoted to adhesion with the Creator means he can follow him however open the Creator is to him, face to face. And he can also go in the opposite way, where even if nothing shines for him whatsoever, he is still devoted. Body.
Now, where exactly is the devotion, unconditional devotion, in the state also of darkness?
Well, that's the unconditional devotion. When he tries to perform actions of his own as if he is in the complete state of the sun, where the sun can be instead of the moon, or the moon instead of the sun. I don't care. He is in adhesion. If we speak of these depictions, it's as if he is in adhesion with the Creator regardless of the forms that the moon and sun are in with respect to shining on him.
What feels a person in that state? Because on one side he's happy to serve the king, there's a certain fulfillment, and on the other side, what holds that state?
That he wants to be adhered to the Creator above all those phases of the moon and the sun.
From what reason? What holds him in that state?
That he wants to be adhered to the Creator and not to how much the Creator shines on him in different ways during the month. But on how much he wants to be adhered to the Creator, regardless of these changes, above these changes.
On that part, is there a part that is grateful for what he has, and the other part, it works coercively, or does it not work that way?
I'm not exactly sure what you're saying, but a person has to be adhered to the Creator even above anything that he attains. Because what he attains is always in his own vessels. There is always doubt in it. From 0 to 100%.
Ken.
Yes. You have no other choice but prayer. Only prayer. But the fact that you have been rewarded with thinking that there is such a state and that you can be in it, this is already a reward.
So I'll take it to a practical situation. Praying is also hard, but what I do succeed to do coercively in that state is to open the books of Rabash and read. That gives something.
That's okay. Yes, that's fine.
So could that be a certain kind of prayer where it doesn't really matter what you're doing, but you're doing some kind of action?
Yes, yes.
Because that reading is not simple. It's hard.
You open a book by Rabash randomly and start reading. And you will see how much it will be directed toward you.
איך משתחררים
How do we get free from the motivation for progress, which is the desire to attain?
Along the way, it accompanies us for a long time. The motivation for advancement in what exactly? In this motivation, a person changes. You change the reasons why you're doing this.
Well, how do we do that exchange?
To
the extent that you give a greater importance to the society, which is what really directs me. There is a creator. There is the person. And there is a society in between. To the extent that a person can be connected to the environment and be incorporated in the environment, he can advance and approach the Creator. Because in the society, it is clearer to him when he works for his ego and when he comes out of his ego to the light, to the control of the Creator.
And the whole process of ascent and descent that he depicts here in the middle, that's in order to connect the person to the society?
Yes. So much so that he wants to be constantly dependent on them. Constantly dependent on them and to truly follow them.
Not to battle himself.
To fight against himself in order to go with them. The society is a means between how much a person is in the Creator and how much he is he disconnects from himself and wants to adhere to the Creator. The society is what creates this connector for him.
Ken.
Yes.
Does the society disconnect me from the program of the will to receive?
The society changes for you. It changes your will to receive into a social will to receive, where you want to be in, within them. You're willing to be inside of them or within them. And the society does this service for you, so that instead of being adhered to yourself, you will be adhered to them. This is the power of
the Creator. Want to show Moshe, Moses,
that precisely this form
that
you, when you identify the moon, the power of bestowal, faith above reason, and that it will shine for you like the sun, even though it's the moon. So that is what you sanctify, meaning when you come with faith above reason into the same state as when you are within reason.
So the moon is stronger than the
yes. And the person truly wants to.
אצלנו בעשירייה אנחנו יש לנו מפגש עשירייה אנחנו
us in the 10 we have a 10 meeting we come to connect and we see that it's not a society that just gathers to do some crime but we come with the intention that we want to bring him contentment. But we don't always come with desire, with a yearning. We start the meeting with the praise of the society, and friends feel that it's from the mouth outwardly at that point.
Of course, so what?
I wanted to connect that because there's a feeling that it's also connected, that we need somewhat to be happy in this small desire that we have to bring contentment to the Creator, as if we're connected and that we're bringing Him contentment, to believe that, that even though we have that small desire to connect,
we
can bring him contentment with that, and we should be joyful for that, that we have been awarded with that.
Yes.
So that point of entrance where we can make a connection and make a clue for the Creator. What is the support that each friend can give in that he annuls, incorporates, and submits the nations of the world to that he wishes to be Israel?
Regarding connection with the society, love for the society, etc., we have to understand that there is the beginning of the way when a person does not need it whatsoever, doesn't want it, and he has to come to the opposite state, that for him nothing is greater, holier than connection with a ten. It doesn't happen in one day, and it's not like we understand it. It becomes clarified to the extent that the original connection between us and the ten opens up for us. And that connection initially was done by the Creator, and it makes no difference whatsoever to what extent we can give it corporeal interpretations. That is because we are neighbors, it's because we are like this, like that, and this and that and that. This is why we got together in some group. Rather, afterwards, we will see how much the Creator hides Himself behind all the actions. In short, what we need is to sanctify the society, the ten, where we are in, to try not to leave it, for all kinds of our own complaints and calculations, because they are certainly false. And in this way, we discover gradually that to begin with, even before we came to Kabbalah, we already came in order to connect with this society. And this is why exiting the society, the ten, is something very, very serious.
שמעתי אותך מסביר בפעם ראשונה, אני שומע כאילו את הכל.
I heard you say for the first time, we always talk about it, but I first time heard for the first time in this clear way that there's this, how this transition happens between a person working not for a reward, where there's this social aspect where from his will to receive, he goes to a will to receive that is social, and then to a will to receive that is before the Creator. What is this will to receive in the social aspect that he's willing to accept that service to that disconnects him from himself?
That he relates to the group, the society, as the Creator, as the Upper One. And this is how he behaves.
What is upper in them?
The upper in them is the view, the reason of the society, its wholeness.
It's like it's not people that are sitting around me. There's a deeper force that I need to seek, which is called the upper one, right?
Correct.
How do we depict it correctly? How do we relate to it correctly?
That's really part of God above. That within the ten, there is a part of the God above.
That's called the social desire to receive, to which I want to enter?
Let's say so, yeah.
And if possible, also another thing I wanted to scrutinize how we can relate to it correctly, the fact that you've merited to think that there's such a state you can be in, that's already merit.
Yes.
Can you expand? Where do I thank for this? Where there's this feeling that it's kind of like new vessels from which a person can thank that are not yet vessels of bestowal, but they're also not complete vessels of reception. What is that state in the middle where a person is thankful for having the privilege of being on the path?
Because he receives the direction of the ten and not the direction of himself.
And he thanks for that. From what vessels does he thank for that?
From this, this is really where a new vessel, a new kli essentially is born for him, where he somewhat exits himself and relates himself to the society.
So it's on that point of where he touches, there he exits himself and there's places where it's a little purer, where he can touch it.
Yes, of course. Yes.
I wanted to continue, Eli. What does it mean to relate to the society like the Creator?
That it's upper than me, higher than me.
But what's the Creator in the society?
The Creator in the society is that I learn about these social discernments. I learn from them how to relate to the Upper One, to the Creator.
In what way is this expressed? You look at the society, you try to be in the society. What does it mean now that you're with them like the Creator?
I receive their desires, their direction, the goal of their development as higher than me.
And what is this, the Creator? Why is this called the Creator? It's above me, but why is it called Creator?
The Creator, essentially, is more upper, higher.
So what does it actually mean that that is in the society?
That the society that is between me and the Creator, it receives from the Creator all kinds of new discernments, and it follows them, and me wanting to follow that, On the one hand, I have to annul myself towards the society and receive from them the direction of their development from the Creator. Meaning, the society is basically comprised of all the upper things that I need.
In a given state, is the Creator in the society, or is it, is nothing, something necessary from a person to start identifying the Creator in the society?
Of course I have to lower myself, bow before the society.
Why is you annulling, all of a sudden creating the conditions that the Creator has felt in the society, and before that he wasn't?
That's how I accept it. That's how I build him. That's why the Creator is called Bo Ue, come and see. You have to come to it and then see.
Meaning, what I'm not grasping is, we always say that we build the Creator between us. That we make,
yeah, that's exactly that.
Clear, but in what do we create him if the Creator's in the group? If he's already in the society, he's probably built already. So in what are we building him?
No, he is to begin with from above, but we have to build him from below.
What does that mean, to build him from below?
That I crown him. I position him this way, that he becomes upper to everything, higher than us. And that's how I accept him, and that's how I put him on the throne. Yes, David.
We said that we need to receive the goal from the ten, from the society, for our development. But each of us also has like the purposefulness. What is in the society that's above the individual that he needs to receive from them and he doesn't have?
First of all, in the society, he is not there. It's outside of him. It's a force or a vessel that is more external. In the society lies the force of the Creator. That's where we need to reveal it. The society is the force and the place where it's an intermediate between me and the Creator. So it turns out that the main thing for me is the society, because to the extent that I am incorporated in it, to that extent I get closer to the Creator.
A person comes with a lack, and we learn that also the friends have that lack. He depicts the lack that they have as the lack that he has, just more like me.
And
it doesn't take him outwards towards the society. He doesn't feel the external vessel, meaning there's...
No, keep going.
So sorry, meaning he needs to identify some gap that he can attain something from them that he doesn't have. What does the action of a person need to be in order to feel the difference between him and the society and to attain what they have? How do you feel that gap?
That gap is felt in the will to receive. That the will to receive in the person and the will, the social will to receive, that gap is as the quality of Malchut with respect to the quality of the first nine Sefirot. Meaning that society can act as the first nine Sefirot towards the person. If the person positions himself as the Malchut.
I come with the lack. The individual comes with his own lack. He needs to somehow use the society in order to... What happens with his lack when he uses before the society? What does he do with his own lack? Does he need to put it aside, to put it inwards, to disappear it? Or...
He wants to replace it with a deficiency that he clings to them and through them to the Creator.
What is to replace?
To replace meaning to nullify himself towards the society and nullify himself inside the society towards the Creator.
And himself is the deficiency that he has for attaining the goal? Maybe it's not, but what do we cancel here?
No, it's not the desire towards the spiritual goal. One does everything towards the spiritual goal, but rather his own will to receive that he has, his will to receive in order to receive, the will to receive that, how to put it, that he has from his own.
So we need to somewhat identify it. A person needs to feel somehow that he has something that he has to annul, and it's not his yearning for the connection or for the purpose of creation, but rather something else that's bothering him from receiving it from the society.
We have all of those here, yes?
There's this feeling that after a long time that we're working together in the Ten, that the Creator is concealed, the Torah is concealed, and even the teacher is concealed, and the only thing you have to hold on to is the friends.
Well, that's something, yeah?
Now, it feels as if we're like children alone in the dark, holding hands, before these waves of life that are trying to tear us from one another, and we're nonetheless battling to hold on to each other.
Yes.
And it's even depicted like Noah's Ark, where it's some safe place, that we're running towards each other, to hold each other. There's all kinds of problems, doesn't matter, corporeal problems and spiritual problems, but we want to hold on.
Yes.
How from such a state do we move to something that is more active towards the Creator?
More active is that we hold it on to each other more. And certainly in these states, there are friends who want to leave, and they think that by leaving or moving to another ten, that they'll be better off, or it'll be easier for them, better, more comfortable. They'll arrange themselves better. We have to explain that it's actually not the case. It's actually the opposite. We have to hold on to each other and open our hearts to each other, and only in that way to reach the shore.
Yes. Specifically in the state in which we feel that we belong to one another, but how, it's like a group of blind people, how can they emerge to something else?
Only on the condition that they hold on to each other. Then, in the connection between them, not in each one individually, but in their shared connection, they have contact with the Creator. And then the Creator will govern them to the extent that they connect to each other.
It's a very important scrutiny that we're doing now. You said that I need to make from myself Malchut and the friends the first line. Actually, the method is that a person who comes to the society needs to restrict himself, to annul, and then the beginning of his restriction is, I just want in Kabbalistic terms to express it if it's possible to continue. Meaning, how do we acquire a screen? What's a screen? It's if I make from the ten something that through which I can receive the light? How is that work? The beginning is clear, meaning you annul yourself, you can reach a restriction. But what's next?
I want to be incorporated in the society with all my efforts, with everything I can, so that all of my heart, my mind, all that I picture to myself, I'll be in adhesion with the society, and the society will fill me up and give me a better direction towards the Creator.
Meaning we can acquire the force of the screen?
Yes. On the way, we acquire it. We aim for it.
And it should be a common screen, or each in his work, in his annulment and efforts?
One cannot attain a screen. That's what we think in the beginning of the path. A screen is attained only when we wish to connect to each other, to embrace and hold each other. And then, in that lack, in that urgency, that necessity, then we begin to feel where is that place of the screen. Yes.
Rav, to continue this, how on one hand does the Creator turn to me through the friend, and on the other hand, I build with the friend a common kli? It's like either the friend belongs to the Creator, or
I don't have a direct connection to the Creator, only through the ten. Or let's say through the friend also.
Yes, but kind of.
Meaning I have to make a connection with the ten in such a way that I devote myself to them. They understand it. I'm not hiding it. That I need them and they need me. And so that's the same towards each one to everyone else. And in that reciprocal work in the ten, we begin to truly feel how we can turn to the Creator.
But there's some strange gap here where on one hand, when I look at the friend, I'm looking at him as through him the Creator is turning to me. And when I need to turn to the Creator, I need to take the friend to me. It's like the friend is once being given to me on behalf of the Creator, and one hand, one time on behalf of me.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you enter him or he enters you. As long as you're together. The group has to see what's up with each and every friend. Why is he leaving, or where is he moving, or why is he changing his place? The group is responsible for whatever happens to the friend. Because when one changes his place, changes his society, changes all of his conditions. We don't understand why we're so tied up to our world, to these discernments in our world. But we should listen to what the I'm telling you, when I was next to Rabash, I saw how severe this matter is, moving from one group to another group.
Uh,
אני לא יודע איך להגיד, אבל זה...
I don't know how to say it, but...
זה ממש גירושין רוחניים.
It's like spiritual divorce.
ו... לכן... אנחנו לא מרגישים את זה.
Therefore, we don't feel it, but it is so.
אין לי מה להציע.
I don't have what to offer. It's desired to keep the group, whether it's great or small, and make all the efforts so that no one will fall.
Thank you, Rav.
זה בעיה שלנו בכלל.
It's a problem. It's generally a problem on the path that each and every one goes through doubts and ups and downs. Sometimes the descents seem like falls, and the ascents also seem like just flying into some outer space or something. We have to hold on. One has to hold himself, and ultimately you will see how the Kabbalists were right in seeing man's nature and recommending us what they did.
Okay,
Dudi.
I still didn't understand the principle about why a person in our society is not allowed to move from one tent to another.
That I learned from Rabash. And I feel that a person begins to enter an environment, he builds a place, the ten makes a place for him, and then a person has to fill up that place. And then the ten has to work on him and tie him to it. It's like an organ in a body. You know how difficult and dangerous and not simple it is to transplant an organ, to replace one of the crucial organs. It's not that possible. It's not that simple. It requires a lot of preparations and treatments until it becomes embedded and takes part in the body instead of the original organ. So it's a similar thing here. The Creator sets things up in a certain way, and we think that we can change things however we want. Of course, we think that, because that's our perception of reality. But no, we have to relate to it very seriously.
So
the ten that we're in right now, each in his ten, that's my ten, what, till the end of correction?
What happens until the final correction or not, I can't say, because there are stages before us that groups in this world still haven't gone through. So we'll see. We'll see in ourselves. But essentially, we have to try to tie ourselves together in such a way that it's like cutting off an organ from the body. That's the meaning of letting a friend leave a tent.
At what point is it justified to move from one tent to another? What reason could be that you receive it and it's okay, it's better for you to be there?
בעיניי זה לא יכול להיות.
I wouldn't say so. In my eyes, it can't happen.
בשביל מה? למה?
What for? Why? What's the reason? That he moves to a different place to live? Why does he do that? Or replacing these friends with other friends? How can that be? What makes the current friends not good? And if they're not good, you have to try to correct them or adapt yourself to them? I didn't learn that next to Rabash.
So what's the criteria here that it's a strong 10?
I don't know. I know that a strong 10 means they come every day to the daily lesson. If they can spend another, say, half an hour to connect during the day through their phones, right? And they come to meals and other
From women in Rehovot, they're asking, how is it expressed to work in soul devotion in the ten?
That I do everything for the sake of the ten, because that's the kli from which I connect to the Creator. The Creator is found in the center of the ten, and that's how, together with the ten and the Creator, we come. No, never. No.
So this form right now where we have seven friends and the videos right now and four sitting, for now it's okay.
It's not fine, but you have to try to bring everyone. What's the problem? What's the problem? You have to clarify what the problem is. You can't sit at home and then study the same way you sit here. It's totally not the same kind of connection.
Why?
Why? Because that's it. Just trust me and do it. Even if you come here and sleep. Some people come here and sleep. It's sweet for them to sleep here. And it's not a problem. It also existed in with Rabash. Not him specifically, but some folks who came to study. They would fall asleep. Yes.
Rav, how does a 10 know that it's advancing? Because it doesn't really matter the form. We receive different forms, but how does it examine whether it's advancing? Because everything's okay if it's advancing.
When we read an article in the morning and they try to go back to it one more time during the day and see how that article entered them, both confusing for them and also straightens them out.
According to what we talked today about the tens, that whoever has this ten is a spiritual root, very original. So in the upcoming convention, we're going to be sitting in our permanent tens to deepen in the connection between us and each ten inside of itself.
Like that? You've decided?
Yes. But I still want to ask, when? There's times that you say, it doesn't matter to me where I sit. We're all 110 for me. I could sit here, I could sit there. How to relate to that?
No, it's very important if I sit together with my friends.
What is there in the sitting that you sit with your 10 members of your friends in the 10? Or you sit in other friends in the society? What will you get from your friends that you won't receive from them?
I'm afraid to say. So the tens won't be misjudged. But I feel vibrations that we are in a single vibe or wave in the tent. And that's why it's preferable for us to be clear.